Oh, here, second podcast of 2022. What's happening, Eden?
Oh, you know, not too much. Same old stuff. How have you been?
Yeah, pretty good, you know, just plotting along. You know, got the dogs and snakes and, you know, lots of things coming up. But we won't keep our guests waiting too long. Kurt, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
So you enjoyed the last podcast?
Yeah, quite enjoyed it.
Thought you'd come back?
Yeah, why not? Give it another fang.
Yeah, it's good. We'll chat a little bit about, you know, what's been happening with you. Is there anything new going on?
Just doing my thing in the snake world and producing a few Antaresia, basically.
Yeah, cool. You went to the expo? We all went to the expo?
I did. First expo I've actually done, so it was very interesting.
What did you think of it?
Yeah, it was fun. I quite enjoyed it. Met a few extra people there and here and there and whatever, and then met a few people that, you know, haven't put names to faces and shit like that. So, oops, sorry.
That's all good. You're going to demonetize us. Yeah. All our fans.
But yeah, no, it was good. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I think I'll do another one.
What's a good day?
Probably, May 9th?
Trying to count the fingers. For the next month.
First
Sunday next month, so that'll be good down in Illawarra, where you're going, I'm going, Eden can't make because he's got to work, but sure we'll work something out. So did you have much left from the last expo for sale?
Yeah, got plenty left over, always do. You know, it was pretty early February, so you know, everything was still, well, not everything, but everything was still trying to, you know, get feed and everything.
There wasn't a lot of hatchies there, was there? There was a lot of adults, but yeah. There was a few hatchies.
Yeah, especially with the carpet people, you know, they're a bit later than the old Antaresia. Had a, you know, fair few feed and everything like that and ready to go, but yeah, it's just waiting for people to be interested in them. And
was there anything with the expo that, you know, really interests you or, you know, thought about getting or anything like that?
I didn't get much of a chance to even do anything. Didn't even get to see anyone. Too busy setting up, and once the show started, that was it. Once the show finished, I was packing up and getting out of there sort of thing. Like, met up with a few people just after, but, yeah, wasn't much time in it, so didn't see much. So, yeah, it'd be interesting in the next show. Hopefully I get a bit more time to go out and have a look now and know how to set up and...
Pack down, set up, and what you need the most. You know, we took a lot of pens and papers and all this stuff. Yeah. I don't think we used any of it.
I took way too much stuff. Way too much. I had a list like as long as your arm, and I didn't need half of it.
That's right. You know what I liked? I had the Emerald Tree Monitor.
Yeah,
Mitch is from Snake Sanctum. He sent his Emerald Tree Monitor down one of his boys, and that thing was absolutely insane.
It's cool to see one in person.
Yeah, I did see that. That was actually really, really nice looking.
Hopefully one day we actually get to keep them.
Not in the monitors, but it was nice.
Hopefully one day we do get to keep them, because, you know, they are pretty cool. Because in New South Wales anyway, you know, surely one day.
Yeah.
So, that was that expo, and you touched on there's an expo coming up in next month. Just want to give the viewers or the listeners some... What are you going to have for sale there?
Got all my hatchies, platinums, some platinum 66% heck granites. What else I got there? I got a trio of albino double het 66%.
So
albino marbles.
Yeah, so you could potentially create an albino marble. That'd be cool.
They'll be there for sale.
So more of the top end stuff, you know, the more stuff and.
Yeah, they'll be on the morph side, so.
Cool. Speaking about the morph side, you know, enough of kind of just a bit of chit-chat. Let's kind of get into the main topic for tonight. Obviously, where you're up to right now in your breeding season. From last podcast, you know, we discussed that you're heavily into ants, Antaresia. So where are you up to right now in the season? I've already seen people got snakes locking up and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Where are you up to at your place?
Oh, it's way too early for that. The girls aren't ready. Boys, you know, I've had a few boys starting to go off feed.
Boys are rude of rope, though, so some boys are super eager.
Yeah, they're a bit eager, but it's way too early in the season for that. The girls are way off for that, so I'm still just, you know, trying trying to feed the girls, get them up to weight and things like that for this coming season.
Do you think there's any negative effects by pairing them this early or not really?
No, I think that's a null and void, really. Like, yeah. They will mate. I mean, I could put them together and they will mate, but it's not going to be...
It's not really, yeah. I'm thinking about it now for myself, you know. I think that there would be really no cons other than, you know, you're not feeding the animals, you know. That's kind of the other thing if they're cooling and trying to lock up. But, I mean, I guess they get used to each other, so it can't hurt, you know. But I think, yeah.
Yeah, it can't hurt, but... Are they going to produce anything? There's no real point to it, in my opinion.
Yeah, try and get a couple more weeks worth of food into them.
I'm old school, but like I always put them down in, you know, April, May. So, you know, stop feeding towards the end of April and start cooling them down in May. And then start pairing them in, you know, June, July, somewhere around there. Like, I don't see the point right now. It's still too... Well,
so right now you've still got girls feeding, or you've started the empty out process? Because if you said, you know, this month you're starting to drop tams, then you still got food in the animals, or
I'm still throwing a few feeds into the girls. Not really worried about the males. The males are all good, but yeah, just starting to get a few feeds into the females, and yeah, get a little bit of extra weight into them towards the end of the month, and then towards the end of the month I start, you know, slowing them down and start turning down the temps and start empty them out for the next month after that.
Yep.
And then, yeah, like I said, towards the end of May, start of June, they're sort of empty and, you know, start and think about it. So then you start thinking about pairing them and what pairs you want to do and things like that.
Okay, so talking about preparation for the season, animals are still getting fed. How do you decide when a girl is ready or when a boy is ready to breed, and how do you prepare them? And let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's not more like a lot of people go on about weight and things like that. Yes, most ants sort of go, you know, 250 grams plus, but I mainly look at the girl and, you know, work out from there whether she's ready to breed. Like, yeah, she might be 250 grams, but she's a slender 250 grams, so
yeah,
that doesn't mean she's ready to go. If I think she's a plump animal, put it that way, for a female. Then yeah, I know she's ready to go.
So what you're saying, everyone that's wondering if their snake's ready to breed, just send you a photo and then you can give them the tick of approval?
Hell no. Hell no.
Get 100 messages tomorrow.
No.
Okay, cool. So that's more the condition side thing in males. We talked about the girls, what about the males? What do they need to kind of be condition-wise and weight-wise? And
I find males breed better when they're lower weight or, you know, slim, not fat. Yeah. Should I say? Depending on their age, like, you know, you can have a, you know, 10-year-old male that's 250 grams, 300 grams, but he's still slender. But yeah, you just got to have a slender male, basically. I've found the fatter you get your males, the more lazy they are with breeding. They will start to breed at the start of the season, but towards the end of the season, they just slow down and back off. Like, yeah,
you gotta can relate. No,
yeah. Exactly. You gotta have your male slender. Is all I've got to say about it. You can work it out for yourself, but yeah.
I've always thought young males, because they're you know, only fresh breeders, they can't go to as many girls. You know, I've found from past that they can only go to one or two max. You know.
Yeah.
But I wonder if maybe what you're saying, you know, because we pump up the young males so much to try and get up to breeding size, you know, and to compete with the girl, if they're on that little bit fattier side, you know, because they're like a little chubby boy, you know. You know what I mean? Or I wonder if, yeah, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see. Maybe I should do that. Slowly grow a male, like really slow.
Yeah, it just depends on the male. Like, I had a big male that was obviously, he probably would have been about 300 grams. He was the only male I produced, like, prior. And I'm talking about the Albino Marble. So I produced him, what was it, 3 years on top of the males and females I produced last year, or bred from last year, I should say, I produced, that I bred from last year. And I found that the younger males actually bred more, being on the slender side, than the big fat male that I had. Yeah.
You know? Makes you think, doesn't it?
Because he was just being fed up, and I didn't really have any plans for him at the time because he didn't have anything to put him to, until I eventually put the pair back together and produced the double heads again, and then brought them up to age. By the time I brought them up to age, he's like 2 years in advance of them, so he was a big boy. And yeah, he was lazy as. Very lazy.
And you know, speaking a bit about projects, you know, how do you decide what female to, like, when do you decide, you know, to rest a girl, or like, how do you know what to breed each season? Like, obviously you're not going to go and breed 30 normal children's pythons, because that's just, you know, you're not going to be able to find a home for them all. But, you know, how do you decide what females you're going to breed each season? Not based off condition.
Yeah, it's just more my plans, you know, what I want to breed, what I don't want to breed. Like, this season I'm going to rest a few females.
Is that because of, like, a space or the market or time or...?
Yeah, both, but they've bred sort of, you know, two seasons in a row, so I thought, yeah, I'll just rest them this season, give them a break, sort of outcross this, that and the other in between with my projects and stuff and prove some stuff out, so I thought, yeah, just give them a break.
Okay, so just basically you focusing on some other stuff and... They breed a couple of seasons in a row.
Yeah, just give them a break, pretty much.
How long would you breed a female each season? Like, breed, rest, or constant breeding, or what have you found over the years?
Well, I found with ants, you know, you can do them two, three seasons in a row, and then after that, you probably need to rest them for a bit.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
What do you reckon, Jake? How many years?
Yeah, I reckon three, and then you give them a rest usually, three or thereabouts. I found usually... Most of the time after that third season, they won't breed anyway, you know. I've always found a girl misses, or maybe just coincidence, you know. Like, I just didn't pair that boy to them as much, you know, but, or a young male, so.
Yeah, I've just rested them because, yeah, we've had enough.
Any questions, Ian?
Oh, no, I think that pretty much covers all the...
That's how you decide, you know. Okay, so right now you're still feeding... And then how soon until you start... When you say you'd start dropping the temperatures, are the girls empty when you drop them? I know we quickly glanced over it, but a bit more in-depth for the people that are about to undergo it, so...
Yeah, usually,
when's last feed? Next week? Week after?
Sort of finished feeding by the end of April sort of thing, and then usually... Okay. I usually plan for May as being my empty month, by the way.
So you don't drop any temperatures during May? Yeah, you just kind of...
Sort of let them empty out. They've got to digest any meals. Like, obviously, they'll feed at the end of April or something like that. I've got to let them empty it out with temperature. If you lower the temperatures a little bit too much, then it takes them longer to empty. So, let them empty out and sort of go from there. Once they're sort of empty, probably, you know, mid-May, empty May, depending on when my last feed was.
And how big as well.
Exactly. So, once they're emptied out... Start thinking about lowering temperatures. I do it slowly. I go about 2 degrees every week, every 2 weeks, something like that. Drop the 2 degrees till they get to about 28 during the day. That's from like 34 sort of thing. So good month of dropping the temperatures, and then then I just put it on the timer and just basically go, as the sunrise goes, 6 to 6 and 6 to 6 for heat and cool.
Basically. What's the day temp? You still keep it the same, or you drop it, or...?
So, well, best way to put it is night temp, I completely shut it off.
Yeah.
Put the timer on, no power, no nothing, they shut off, I open the window, let the... This is, at the start of hibernation, I just drop off the night temp. I start off dropping the night temp, 6 to 6, and then give them heat during the day, still give them about 28, something like that, aim for 28, 26, 28, somewhere around there, so you don't get any RIs. Other than that, I've found you can probably get RIs and things like that with weaker animals or whatever, like owls and stuff. And then eventually, probably about halfway through June, I start thinking about opening the window and, you know, getting a bit cooler during the night. So they've still got no heat at all. Between 6 and 6, and then I just like open the window, shut in the morning, all that jazz, so it gets a bit cooler, and the room ends up being, you know, probably by end of July, probably 16 degrees, something like that, so get some males going,
Yeah, what we do is we feed heavily, we've been feeding heavily, and then up until now, you know, and then we'll probably give them, this last week we've given them a bit of a rest, you know, a bit of a little empty out. And we'll start chopping the feedback into them until the end of April. And then at the end of April, we'll actually bump up the day temps and usually also the night hours and to help them empty out quicker. And then usually about 2 weeks later, they're usually pretty much empty as because we've been smashing them with heat and, you know, they empty out. And then after that, we'll start dropping We'll drop it back to 12 hours on, 12 hours off. But it's then about, like, I find it's then about knowing your room. You know what I mean? So, like, when that happens, we wouldn't open the window yet. You know, we'd still leave the night temperatures pretty warm because, you know, it's been heating up during the day. But then, as you said, you know, once they're started to progress through the season, you know, you open the window a little bit and a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. To the point, like I said, it's just common sense, really, you know, about cooling the room down. It's about knowing your setup. You know, if you're in a garage and you get super cold, your issue's going to be
keeping them warm during the day,
you know. As well as that, they're probably going to cool quicker. Whereas unlike us, who have all our reptiles in a room, you know, the whole room's heated. So it's more for us about making sure they get cool enough. And then, you know, as I said, I don't like pairing my males in with girls until they've had at least 2 weeks under 20 degrees.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of do.
Yeah.
Which, anyway, everyone's different. But like I said, you know, it's just about knowing where you are, knowing your room, knowing your setup, you know, just using a bit of common sense.
Yeah, I just go with feel.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Feel, just common sense.
Yeah.
Now, that's equal to ants. Is there anything else you do different for, say, antaresia or carpets? Or I know a lot of our listeners are antaresia keepers, but anything else for that stuff? Or
Probably did the same thing with carpets back in the day, but that was probably a little bit later in the season. But
yeah, they get paired later in the season. They'd probably drop a little bit more in temperature.
I haven't done carpets for years, so yeah.
Not sure the tips and tricks these days.
Oh, it's still the same scenario. It's just, yeah, a month or two later, pretty much, for carpets. There's nothing really different you do, per se. But yeah, if I was still keeping carpets, it'd be just literally probably a month later. I'd be doing the same scenario if I just had carpets in the room.
Do you find that, you know, like, certain species or males or females do better for cooling and breeding season in, like, different sized tubs? Like, back in the day, I heard a rumour that males, you actually should have males in bigger tubs, because when they start to get in the mood, they start pacing the tub heaps. And if they have a small tub, then there's going to be issues. So have you found any difference, or not really?
No difference. A tub's a tub, yeah.
And saying that a good breeder will breed, no matter what tub they're in.
If you got a shit breeder, it won't breed. Like, if you got a good breeder, it'll breed. If you got a moderate breeder, it'll still breed. Like, tub size, in my opinion, no. The only thing I found, tub size per se, cage size, would be olives. Like, I couldn't get my olives to go in a smaller cage that I had them in when they were growing out. I put them in the slightly larger cage and bang, they bred, sort of thing. Like, that's me. I've been an olive pair to them. Got for sale now, anyway, if anyone listens.
So, I've been there, male and het girl and cages. And
yeah, but, they didn't breed in a literally 300mm smaller or in length cage than I had, and I upgraded them, because, outgrowing it, obviously. As soon as I did that, bang, they bred, so.
Are you selling them and buying into blackheads? Like, are you going to be the next blackhead king?
Just selling the olives to make more room for my ant projects. I've got too many ant projects going. I need more room to put some more racks in there and, more holdbacks, basically.
Oh, I'm going to get into blackheads.
I was thinking about it. I like the antaresia, exantic, sorry, not the antaresia, the exantic blackheads, but the
pinstripe blackheads. Yeah, they're stuff,
nice. Contemplating, I do like my blackheads, but
back if you day, could get into one other thing other than ants, what would it be? Like anything, lizard, monitor, gecko, bird.
Yeah, it'd be probably exantic blackheads, I reckon.
Blackheads.
Yeah, I quite like blackheads. They're a very interesting species, and a bit more different to what the antaresia is and the olives. Like, olives are very inquisitive, same as carpets. I found carpets very inquisitive, and blackheads, they're just something different.
Like psychos.
the one I had wasn't a psycho. Like, it did like its food, but no, it didn't launch out of the cage or anything. But I just like the look of them.
My old blackhead, I had a group of them. I had an axe pair, and then I had two huge 10-foot girls. And the female would chase you around the room with her mouth open. I'm not even joking. Like, she would hate people and hate things.
No, I haven't had that experience with blackheads. No, they're savages. maybe if I did, I wouldn't want to get into one. The one I had back in the day, which was an old Brian Champion male, he was a good boy. I quite enjoyed keeping him, and I just sold him again, like, So I was getting into ants and stuff, and I can't remember.
Who needs a huge him, blackhead when you've got ants?
Yeah, I only had the one, and I sold him, and yeah, that was it.
Cool. Eden, if you could get any reptile, fish, bird, whatever project, what would it be?
Definitely not birds.
Yeah, no, they're pretty messy and loud, eh?
I don't know, maybe some...
It's like Frenchies.
Yeah, the dogs are pretty loud.
Maybe a few more lizards, like some...
A few more lizards? What do you mean more? Do you got some lizards?
Yeah, I got a couple.
What do you got?
I've got one Aki at the moment and just recently got a few blue tongues.
Okay, and what are your plans with the blueies?
Just breed them and see what I can make. A few cool combos.
Yeah, the blueies are cool. I like the fact that they don't lay eggs. That's cool to me.
It's a big bonus.
You know, but eggs are a bit annoying. So that's it, just the lizards, blue tongues. Nothing else, no other projects you get into? What about emerald tree monitors?
Oh, they're cool, but I don't think I'd...
They are cool, there'd be a lot of space and all that sort of thing.
A little bit upmarket too.
Yeah. Upmarket?
And what are they, like...
Give it 10 years.
Eggs are like 200 and something days, normally
found. Yeah, monitors are ages.
That's a long time.
I give it to all the monitor keepers, like... I got a several blue tongues having live. Obviously, they're pregnant a lot longer, but like sitting there watching eggs in the incubator, either go full term or, you know, a little bit of mold pops up, or, you know, especially waiting almost a year, that would do my head in. But
for sure.
Do you want to get on some questions? Anything else ant related that's happening right now, or any other things that keepers should be doing right now, or kind of just getting those last few feeds in?
Yeah, just getting the feeds in, getting the girls ready, you know. Usually my males are ready by now. Even if they're not, they've had enough. Skinnier the better, I reckon, for males. So.
Do you call hatches from last season their first year, or do you go 24/7?
Hell no, no.
No?
No, just keep them going. Put them on, like, 34 degrees and just keep them going through winter. They usually keep going, mate, or majority of them, you know.
Mm. Oh, the odd one will have, you know, feel the cold a little bit on a rainy day or whatever it may be. So.
Yeah, it might stop or whatever. Yeah, the 99% of them will just keep feeding all the way through if you keep the temps up.
Yeah, cool.
Even in the same room, so.
Yeah. We've got a couple of questions. So what is your most exciting pairing for this upcoming season? And we have to answer after Eden.
I'll probably say... Platinum granites again. I'm pretty interested to see if they'll produce.
So what are they, double heads breeding again, or?
I'd say they're 100% double heads.
100% double heads, so it's recessive. Yeah. Is platinum recessive or?
So your angle. I don't know what they are yet at the moment, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still in the air. Could be, can't be, whatever. I'm not going to go down that track in this conversation anyway. Basically, I'm just hoping that both girls produce a double visual again this season like they did last season. That'd be interesting. Already got a male and a female. Hoping for another male and female, whatever. And to see if there's anything different that comes out, because my line seems completely different to someone else's out there. That
Mitch.
Producing the, we're going to name him. Mitch's.
He loves a shout out, old Mitch.
Yeah, I don't mind Mitch. So, all right, let's shout him out. So, Mitch's line, his line seems to come out like, as in platinum granites, they're like silver granites when they hatch. But my line's, slightly different for some reason.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens there. But I'd like to produce them again just to see if they come out that same way again, you know what I mean? Like,
do you think your platinum line's so much different because you outcrossed it into blondes, or do you think it's just the polygenic of just what happened in the early days?
Obviously, that's what I don't know. So that's why I want to breed them again this season, to see if I produce a platinum granite that's silver or a platinum granite that looks like a freaking marble when it comes out like I did this season. So it was quite interesting.
With the light head and...
It was kind of like a patternless platinum granite when it first hatched. So
has it got pattern now?
It's got like, I call it like a dotted stripe down its back and stuff like that, but it's not like a platinum granite per se where it looks silver and it just looks like a granite. So I'm trying to work out how it's going to turn out, but yeah, we'll go from there and see what happens.
Cool.
Be good.
And obviously, Avena Marbles.
That'll be cool. That's big. I always forget about them. That's my most excited morph I want to see.
Yeah.
Now, Marb.
Don't mind them. Produce, what, 2 albinos this season that are Posset Marble. Don't know if they're obviously double vigils or anything. No one knows what they look like, so they're kind of world first. So we'll see what I pop out this season. And yeah, if something comes out that looks more marble than albino, and it's still albino, then yeah.
Wait and see.
That's what it's all about.
What about you, Eden? What's your most anticipated pairing this year?
Probably the Poss double or the 100% Het Marble Poss Het Alb girls.
Yeah, they're cool. We got to
see if we can prove them out as double.
Any blues this year?
Oh, we might have a pair or two.
Interesting.
Couple.
Might have a pair or two. We'll just wait and see. Yeah.
No eggs. Say it again. Probably similar to what Kurt said, you know. I'm pretty excited for the Alb marbles as well. Also prove out my leopard line a little bit more, you know. Got a lot of young girls. First season I bred them, I didn't get in many girls at all. I got 3.
Yep.
And they were too small last year to breed, so I didn't even risk them. But, you know, I've got those 3 girls this year, all the original girls, and I've got a whole bunch of girls that I've produced, not last season, the season before that. So it should be an interesting year being able to prove them out. And the good thing is, because I've already outcrossed them, you know, they're all Poss Het Alb, and I'll hopefully chuck them into your line of platinum, maybe. I don't know yet. Wait and see. I want to produce more of your platinum line, Kurt, because I've obviously got the pair. But I wouldn't mind chucking the leopard into it, you know.
That's it. And truly, I actually, I'm looking forward to you producing more leopards, because those things are amazing. Some of those super leopards you produce that I know probably only a few people have seen, maybe. You bring one out of the show?
I took the female to the show. But she was down the bottom and no one really saw her because she was only small.
Was that a super leopard or...?
That was super, yeah. No one mentioned how many people saw it.
So,
I did have an adult on display as well, the adult boy.
For the people that saw it, if you missed it, you're insane.
A lot of people probably walked past and thought it was stimmy.
Those things in person are ridiculous. Yes... I'm not going to go anywhere in genetics or whatever. Jake's still trying to work it out, but those things are insane. I'm very excited about them.
Oh, obviously, we said super, so it looks like it's like an incomplete dominant sort of gene, you know. I don't think it's... There's definitely a genetic component to it. It's just we've got other genes that play in there, you know. So it's just about working out what's doing what and improving that side of it, which is, I guess, all the fun.
And that's your problem.
Yeah, I know. Honestly.
trying to work out what's in there.
It's hard. I'm at a point this week where it's like... You hold 30, 40, 50 snakes back last season. You know, you got a rack of them all in their hold back tubs. They're not their big adult tubs, but hold back. And then, you know, they go in the adult tubs. But it's like, where's the old adults go? You know what I mean? And then where do the hatchies from this year go, you know? So it's kind of that, what do you do with old breeders? Do you sell them on or keep everything? Or what do you do?
Yeah. That's the problem. When you got projects, when you get advancing projects, especially projects like yours, when you're still trying to work them out, that's a problem trying to work out, what you do with the, or, I don't know what you call them, like...
The byproduct,
the hets, the older animals that produce those animals that are now amazing, do you sell them on, do you keep them, do you just, like, let them rest, do you have the room to let them rest? That's a problem.
And feed them, you know, that's another thing we've found is, you know, finding the actual breeders to supply us rodents, you know, for everything, you know. Because I don't know about you, you breed all your own rodents, but there's been a lot of people wanting frozen rodents this season, so it's been kind of hard to get onto, which reminds me, I need to message Jared, but... But, yeah, so do you move them on or are you just keep them all? What do you do?
I bring my own rodents, so I've got sort of no issue on that side, but the problem is he's trying to reduce that, but...
I guess that's why you're selling the olives, yeah. For more space for the adults.
Yeah, so that's the problem.
The thing is, you're only a short man as well.
What you
want
to breed this season, what you want to hold back. The problem is if you breed them, then you got to hold them back. Do you want to sell them? Do you want to keep them? Do you want to pass them on to someone else? To hopefully you know, help you out in the project kind of thing, like that. Mm. And then you got to trust them, blah blah blah, you know, like that's the worst part about projects is you eventually get to a point where you got too many animals to hold back that you have to stop breeding them and prove them out prior to breeding them. You know, I'm talking about unproven projects now, you got to prove them out. So I'm going down the line this year of trying to prove my blizzards out per se and this, that and the other, and not breed blizzards per se. Prove them out, outcross them, and then I've got another, 2, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years on top of that to then prove them out, to prove my line out. So it's a, yeah.
Not a short project.
It's a long...
Never ending.
The long side of it, but yeah, what can you do? And in the midst of that, you just breed this and that and, you know, produce...
You still have the stuff you like, which is hard, you know? For me, it's the T-plus simmies, it's the odd marble, you know? You still want to produce those things and, you know, I've got a group for sale now, post double head simmies, you know, that I want to prove them out, but at the same time, I can't do everything, you know? So... Plus, like I was saying earlier, you know, you're not a tall person, so your racks aren't that high.
You can only...
Fuck off!
Yeah.
yeah, you get to the point where, you know, you've got too many projects going, you have to, like, I'm selling a T-plus granite project at the moment, sold a few animals already. You just get to the point where, you know, you have to make a decision and go between one project or another. So that's all it comes down to. Just deciding which way you want to go. It's not that I didn't want to keep going with that project. I really would if I had the room, had a factory, you know, I'd keep them all.
But, or you just do what Eden wants to do and just have 100 blue tongues in outdoor pits and you can keep as many Holbecks as you want.
Yeah.
Definitely don't want that.
You bluey king over here.
Like Joe Ball, put them all out in the backyard, you're all sorted.
His setups are outstanding.
You hose the poos down, you're all done. Yeah, they're amazing.
They're the coolest things I've ever seen.
Not hacking on at all, they're amazing. You just hose the poos down and you're done, that's your cleaning. Yeah. Like, how good is that? And just feed them. If I was a blue tongue person, that's what I'd be doing. And in Queensland, where plenty of heat.
Okay, next question. What was your biggest disappointment of last season?
Jesus. Probably breeding the Urbana marbles and not knowing exactly what I bred.
Yeah, that's
basically, because
yeah.
It's a world first. I just, I didn't actually get a marble out of the whole clutch, which is
weird.
Yeah.
And they definitely had marbles because they're from you. You bred them, so they definitely had marbles.
Yeah, I shouldn't say out of the whole clutch. I should say out of all the clutches, I didn't get one marble. So that was the weird factor. Trying to work that out, whether it was numbers or not, I don't know. But two Urbanos, not too bad out of five. I did breed five, and two survived in the end. Normal Urbano genetics.
20% survival rate.
But are they, you know, double vigils? Don't know, but I'm pretty sure they're just Urbanos plus marbles. And obviously I'll bring them out and work out if they got marble in them, blah, 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 as you normally do. But, yeah, that's kind of more disappointing because I didn't breed a marble out of the clutch, if you know what I mean. Like,
so marble pot for the abs, even the whole back would have been nice.
Yeah, I would have liked an actual, even only one single marble, it was posset albino out of it, just for numbers and things like that. I don't know. It was just, it wasn't really disappointing, but it was bizarre, should I say. It wasn't really disappointing, it was just bizarre.
That's true.
Which
it is. Eden, your biggest disappointment from last season?
I guess there weren't really any big disappointments.
Missed a couple of clutches, didn't you?
Yeah, missed a couple of clutches and stuff, but that's alright though. Not the end of the world, I still got some cool stuff out, so.
Yeah, exactly right. I think the biggest disappointment for myself was one of my out boys didn't really fire up very well and missed a couple girls on him, but again, they're another year older now, so it's not the end of the world. I lost a few albinos, like Kurt, especially from the leopard line, leopard albinos and stuff, which again, it's just what comes with our Beano Max job, unfortunately, which we've done for a few years now. We know that the disappointment there, that's probably about the most disappointment, I'd say, you know, our Max, but...
Part of the game.
Yeah, kind of was just be disappointed that you put all that work each year in, especially if they're proven adults, you know, years time, try again, and same thing happens, so... Oh, well, just a bit outcrossing and staying persistent, but I find it very interesting, you know, some years females have 3 abs and 3 survive, and some years they have 4 abs and none survive, you know, and so it's just all about it, I reckon.
That's why I got out of abs.
Years ago. Now you're back into
them. Went down to 2+ line and now I'm back into them, so, yeah. It's only because, my mate Brad D, I've been a Marvel, so I'm getting back into them, see what happens. I do love them, but yeah, it's a disappointment of them coming out of the egg or kinked and whatever else. But I will say that the albinos, as I've seen, on the internet, you know, a few like, you know, Peter Birch and
Brett Moyen
and all that.
Brett.
They're being outcross and they're getting stronger.
So. Oh, some years it's great. Like, I think it's just part of the parcel. Like, some years. First year I ever did them was great. Second year I ever did them was great. Last season was rubbish. So
yeah.
It just happens. You know, everyone's going to have the odd season here or there where, whether it be marbles, T-plus, albinos, we just do a lot more albinos. So we know the disappointment of albinos. But what happens when you work with numbers, I guess. Yawning. Really? Sorry. It's not like it's 11 o'clock at night or anything.
No, I'm just... chest infection and all that, trust me.
Cool. Now, where do you... Another question? Where do you see Antaresia within the Australian hobby in the future?
If you want me to be really blunt, taking over carpets.
Well, that was the next part of the question. Do you think they'll experience like a morph boom like Morelia did?
100%.
So you think they'll overtake?
They're getting there now. And everyone's starting to see it. And like everyone's starting to come out of the closet, per se. And, you know, showing their snows and their... Exantic Max and, you know, bits and pieces. I'm pretty sure they're actually going to, you know, eventually take over the carpet side of it. But we're still probably, you know, 3-4 years away from that easily.
Okay, and do you think that, like, they'll be the thing in the hobby? Bigger than, like, do you think people, instead of getting a carpet as their first snake, will get Antaresia?
Oh, yeah.
Already does happen, but...
In my opinion, but, you know...
That's sort of the experience of newcomers getting carpets, but...
Yeah, they're a smaller snake, so obviously people want to either start off with or, you know, continue with a smaller snake than a carpet, you know. Carps get to, you know, 6, 8 foot, 9, 10 foot, depending on the species. Whereas the Antaresia only get to, you know, max out at 1.5, 1.6, something like that, so... People want a smaller snake and a colourful snake and all that shit in the future.
Down the track, they're a bit more affordable, especially the colourful ones. I guess that's something that I did notice from the expo, was that a lot of newcomers would, you know, they'd walk past our table and see a really nice blonde Mac that's from platinum pairing, you know, that we've got $400 or $500 from, because you've got the potential to create granites, platinums. But, you know, the newcomer doesn't understand that. They just see a brown snake and they'd rather go get the $150-$200 nice black and gold jungle over there, you know? So that's one thing I did notice, that I hope one day the entries really do surpass that. But as you said, I think that, yeah, obviously everyone knows that, like, spotted children, stimmies, you know, always good first pets, but, you know, in terms of colours, hopefully that there's more of that appeal from the colour side of things, because, you know, as marbles get more affordable, T-plus stimmies, children's, you know, our Max even, you know.
Yeah, it just comes down to numbers, like, and same thing again, like shows, like, I did notice at the show, a lot of people were just buying the, you know, the cheap stuff that was out there.
$20 water dragons.
$20 water dragon, the $50 bitter dragon, just, you know, pets and stuff, because I'll,
impulse, you know, mum
and dad's trying to buy, you know, a pet for the kid and whatever else, no one was...
Our best mate expensive import, stuff. Impulse bird, our mate bought, impulse bought, a turtle. So it's amazing what...
That's what I'm saying, like, some of it is impulse, but, yeah, most of them are looking for the cheaper pet, the $50 bearded dragon, whatever, for their child and this and the other. They're not looking for the $1,500, you know, platinum 66% het
granite. Plus you know, het granite, plus het albino, plus
that kind of thing. Like, that's only the breeders and the more into it people that were actually after those kind of things. And yeah, I sold a few pairs at the show, and they were to the breeders and things like that. And everyone else who came to my table, they looked at it and went, oh, they're nice looking snakes, and oh, they're too much, and moved away kind of thing. But that doesn't worry me. I'm like, on the more side of things, so obviously things cost a little bit more, and yeah, it's all about genetics.
Plus it pays for quality.
Yeah, but I'm not really too worried about whether I sell at the shows or not. I'm more about getting out there and getting my name out there and people know who I am. Those people who buy the $200 carpet python or whatever, once they get into it and get involved in it and work out all the genetics and that, you know, a few years down the track, they're going to go, oh shit, I want to get in the genetic side of it, and they think about what they want to buy. And yeah.
If they went and bought the het or the visual snake to begin with, by the time they get ready to breed, it'll be an adult size, nice and mature.
Yeah, but they don't know that time, you know what I mean?
Probably got educated.
They have no idea. They're just out there to buy a carpet python or a nice looking snake per se, or an antaresia, because they want an antaresia, you know, or they want a Simpson python. It's not all about the genetics for them, because they don't know. If you know what I mean, they're like me. When I started, I had no idea about genetics. I learned it all through the hobby.
Yeah, through Aussie Pythons and Snakes Forum.
Well, I've been in for 20 plus years now, and I still don't know everything.
And you got into it with Aussie Pythons and Snakes around, or was...
Oh, yeah, I was in there, I was still...
it made when, like, did you stumble across it, or was it made when you were into keeping reptiles?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean? Like,
stumbled across it,
when did Aussie Pythons and Snakes start, do you know?
I have no idea when they started, but, like, back in... Oh, Jesus.
When you got on it, was there many members? Was it popular?
Oh, there was a fair few on there. Like, it was good conversation.
So you're not that much of a dinosaur? So.
Nah. I don't know when I first started on there, but, yeah.
It would have been
early 90s.
Jesus Christ, you are a dinosaur.
So I was like, what was that, early 90s would have been... No, it would have been early 90s.
Aussie Python and Snakes still going.
No, it would have been late 90s, sorry. I'm thinking about it right now. No, so it would have been late 90s or early 2000s I actually started on APS. Not sure when, because I was only started keeping 99, so it would have been early 90s. So. Yeah, but my handle on there was Congo Python, because I thought chondros were Congo Pythons at the time, because I was too young at the time and... didn't realise that, so it was quite hilarious. But once I already put my handle on there, you know, it stuck. And then, you know, Congo pythons, so, you know, rock python, and you know, African rock python, and all that. They used to call them the Congo python, shit like that. So I'll stick with it.
That's funny. Cool. Now, this one's a bit different, this question. Have you found a correlation between feeding more mature prey items, so like adult rats, adult mice, you know, older rats, and more consistent formation on the eggs, shell formation. You found more developed eggs from older prey items, or not really? Or
I wouldn't say so.
I know they get some eggs get those like those calcium window things in them.
Well, I've always had a female, which did that, but I think it was just her. She used to produce like purple spotted eggs, which like they were. Low calcium eggs, but they hatch perfectly every time. And they literally have purple spots on when they come out.
What did she get fed on?
Well, just rats, pretty much. Mice previously, and then probably rats when she was larger. So there was no difference in the prey item that I found. And like her now daughter that produces eggs as well, she produces perfect eggs every time. So I think it was just her. She just, I don't know, couldn't convert calcium or whatever properly or whatever it was, but the bizarre thing is they always hatched, so there wasn't anything wrong with them. They just
didn't mind
different.
As long as they hatch.
Oh, it wasn't about that, but just they looked different, but they always hatched. They didn't, you know, didn't have any issues.
Yeah, okay.
So
do you think, what do you prefer feeding, rats or mice?
Obviously a rat has got a lot more bone density and you know, a little bit more meat on them than a mouse does, and you don't have to feed two mice compared to one rat kind of thing.
So it's more of a size thing.
Obviously sizing. I'd rather feed a rat compared to a mouse. It just comes down to whatever size snake it is. Obviously I'll feed a mouse if it's I'm moving the track 40.
You'd rather one rat than a few mice.
Yeah, I'd rather feed one rat than two mice, put it that way. It takes twice as long to feed my collection.
Yeah, that's true. So, I'm about that hatches right now. I'm trying to get rid of all the smaller items.
The noise was in the background, but that put me off. But anyway, yeah.
Favourite ant morph? Couple more questions.
Jesus.
We'll do a quick one tonight. He's a bit gutted after St. George lost, so we won't keep him too long.
It's a hard one. I really love the platinums. I really do. Favourite ant morph. Jesus Christ. No, it's too hard to answer, but yeah, I do really like my platinums, so probably platinum.
Platinum. Eden, your favourite ant morph?
Marbles and platinums. Sorry.
Marbles and platinums. I like your penis.
That's a given.
Cool. Now, Steve Crothers earlier this week or last week posted his Chimera mosaic thing, whatever it is.
Paradox Chimera.
Pied. What do you think it is?
Well, after chatting to a few people about the mosaic thing, which I didn't even know existed, per se, never heard the word.
What's a mosaic tile?
Yeah. Never actually knew the word / investigated, so I've, you know, had a look into it, and it's interesting. It's got merit to it. So, like, through the ball pythons morph / the actual ball pythons, they say it's actually reproducible, so whether it is or it isn't, I don't know. Like, it just depends what is produced and how it's produced. And
that's what I wonder. I wonder if Steve puts one of his animals, weird looking animals, to a T plus, what's he going to get? If he puts it to a marble, what's he going to get? What if he puts it to a double het? What if he puts it to a het T plus, a het marble? You know, that's what I kind of want to know, the outcrossing side of it.
Exactly. That's what I was working my way around there, but I'm just saying, like, unless it's proven out, like, is it that or is it not? You know what I mean? Like, they're the Chimera, Paradox, or now there's the third one, Mosaics, which I only recently knew was in existence.
Imagine you could get the white patch into one of those animals as well. What do you reckon that would do?
Yeah, let's not go there. I've got enough projects. Fuck me. Sorry, I don't mean to swear.
What about what Steve's got with Albino in it as well? That'd be cool. Now, imagine exactly. The marble T plus Albino all in one snake.
That'd be the ultimate snake.
Put it this way, if it's another morph, happy days. Because then you can add it into the Albino. You can add it into the
Granite,
if it's another morph that's reproducible, happy days, prove it out, I'm on board. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I don't know what he's doing, I have no idea. I don't know if it's reproducible or not. It seems to be, because he's done it a few seasons in a row. Has he proven it out to be reproducible other than his own line? I don't know.
So you're on the fence.
All I'm saying is I don't know what he's doing.
Supporting, but you're
I don't know what he's doing. So, like, I'm not against it. I'm not. I am for it, 100% for it. If he proves out another new morph into the ants, happy days. Another new line to think about.
Yeah, cool.
You know what I mean?
Cool.
Happy days.
That's
all I gotta say. Like, I'll be on board with it.
any other ant morphs? Projects that catch your eye than what you're working with yourself, and other than my leopard line?
No, just your leopard line. There's a few going out there, but I don't think there's
I'm any interested in the Exantic and the Snowmax.
My problem is there's nothing new coming into my collection, so I haven't, like, unless I know you and I know you got a completely clean collection, I won't be taking it into my collection, so
too risky.
Way too risky for where I'm going.
So how do you, if you pop something out in your collection, but you do need to introduce new blood, how'd you do it? Would you go out there and take the risk and try and buy?
I've already got new blood in my collection, so I don't need to do it.
Okay, that's true. A couple different lines.
If I don't have new blood in my collection here, then I'll have to quarantine. I have to do this and that and the other for a year or more, but I don't need to do that. I've got plenty of new blood in my collection.
Plans.
I've got plenty of plans. I've got plenty of spares, put it that way, in my collection that if something comes out, pretty sure I'll be unrelated to anything else. But if I do have to then buy something in, yes, of course, I'll have to quarantine it and go through all that procedure and then eventually another fucking project to me.
Eden, any other cool morsels you like the look of in the world?
Not really.
Come on.
Not really. I don't know.
What are you going to see out there? Come on.
Some more blizzards would be pretty cool. See what's going on with those.
Wait, blizzard marbles or blizzard carpets?
Marbles.
Nah.
Marbles.
Cold gush, the cool snowflakes.
I don't want to be involved in bullshitting the industry.
I love causing. What are you saying, Eden?
The chimeras would be cool to get to the bottom of those and work out what they are doing 100%.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other questions you got for Kurt?
No.
Hey, really. Pretty quiet tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling a bit tired. Sorry, guys.
A bit tired, big week. yeah, cool. Anything else? Any blue tongue morphs you're interested in?
You two are getting into the old lizards. What's going on there?
Lizards?
Lizards.
Oh, lizards. I was like, what?
No, I've already got lizards. I've got the blizzards. Yeah, I'm talking about the lizards.
Lizards. Oh, I just thought I'd chuck it back to the basic days, you know? Beauties and some geckos and some fun stuff.
I thought you were an ant man, seriously.
I'm an ant man. I've been keeping ants for 17 years, and I've always kept them.
Lost respect for you, seriously.
what? How many animals do you need to be to class as like an ant man or a blue tongue man or a lizard man?
No, there's nothing like that. No? You've just got too many lizards in your collection now. I've come up here today, and there's way too many here than I came to beforehand.
Still 150 hatchies and another 70 adult ants. So.
That's your problem, and now you're getting into lizards? Why?
Well, I'm a sucker for punishment.
You love it. I love it.
So, you know, those beauties are pretty cool. The hyper leatherback dunners and zeros and all that stuff. But you got to be careful because there's a fair few diseases these days out there with that stuff. So you got to make sure you get them off all tested and reputable people, which is...
That's it. So what blue tongues did you pick up?
Oh, just some of your basic stuff. Like, I think we've got...
They're not basic. Come on.
We've got hypers now, we've got whites, got anneries, got albs, got a bunch of different stuff so that we can... Dogs are barking. We've got a bunch of different stuff now so that we can really make our own combos and, you know, right now, what is there, like 5-16 visual blue tongues?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's already people working on stuff, you know, we just kind of want to do our thing and just have a bit of fun with it, and that's the same as the beauties, you know. The amount of cockroaches I'm going through right now is even not even funny, but... geckos as well, exactly that, you know, just produce a couple of nice geckos and
it's a bit of fun.
Have some fun with it, you know, mix it up, incubator, we'll have beady eggs, gecko eggs, ant eggs, you know, we usually have some carpet eggs in there as well, so it's good fun, mix of stuff, so.
Diversifying.
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 Well, I've got more time now, I'm at home with the dogs, so that's good. But no, it's good to have you up, Kurt.
And at home dad, is that what they call?
Yeah, with no children. It's good. Retired at 23, what can I say? busier than ever.
That might happen.
Again, like I said, I'm really, the biggest issue I've found lately is just space. Like, it just, there's obviously the word hoarding and keeper and all that sort of thing, you know. But honestly, when you start to think about when you first got an ant, those animals you've got. You then get into hets, then you get into visuals, then you make hets, visuals, holdbacks, you bred this, you bred that, and then you start putting your T-plus to your marbles and you get het that, and, you know, I know a lot of breeders now are at the point where they're starting to get rid of their old double hets and replace them with double visuals or marble het T-plus or T-plus het marble, etc., but it's like, still, it's really hard. Like, there's a lot of...
Join the club.
Yeah, like, so we've got a couple of adults to say, I don't know if we'll have them at the expo, but
that's
like...
That's the thing, we're like, well, I'm on par with, you know, thinking about where we want to go in the next season, what we've got held back from last season, how many and too many that we got held back from last season. So we need to start selling some and things like that. But the problem is, what do you pair this season to not double up on that, if you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's the issue. Trying to work out, like, I really want to prove this animal out, but
if what's that hard part? Do you
then breed them to that this one, as in, you know, blah blah blah, whatever it might be, you end up with some more double heads that you've already produced, but they might be double heads advanced to the other double heads.
Well, it's like where I was last season. Do you go and put, so my leopard line, do you go and put the original female to her son, or do you go put the original female to her grandson, and same as the females you've produced? Like, do you go put, like, you know what I mean? Do you put son to mum, or do you put the original pair that made sense and you got, well, you know what you're going to get, you know? And that's hard, because you go and put a son with a mum, and then, you know, your odds completely change and you're still, like, working out a project. Sometimes you need to do the outcross.
That's the issue.
Yeah, that's the issue. Because you do the outcross and there's more keepers.
And you do that multiple times, so you just do it once this season. Yeah. That's the issue. So, well, that's my issue this season. I've got way too many holdbacks. And just thinking about how and what I want to do. As in, I couldn't answer that question earlier, like, what are you going to breed this season? What's your favourite? Barra. It's really hard to do and really hard to think about, because
they're all your favourite.
I really want to prove everything out, but you know, do you go that far and produce another 200 animals this season? And yes, you prove a few out here and there, but then you miss some. And then do you then go next season and try to prove them out again? That's the issue. It's just like trying to work out the sums and the space.
In saying that, what do you have available still that people can get at the up-and-coming expo, or message you privately and purchase after he's done sipping the beer?
Yeah, I've still got the platinum 66% hack granites.
Yep.
I've only got males left, unfortunately. I was male heavy this season. I've still got the trio of albino marbles, which is perplexing.
People need to see it now being a marble, and then they'll lose their mind over
it. Yeah, I mean, they are 66%, but Jesus Christ, I mean, they're good potential to actually produce an albino marble. So
I've paired a 50% het to a 50% het and proved it out. So
exactly.
Who knows?
Hets are underrated. That's what I don't get about it. But anyway, hets are underrated. It's your own. Still got a couple of just straight platinums from a white lion girl. Or white line, I should say. So got probably three or four of them left. Again, male heavy. They're just males left, but they can put them over their female platinums and do some white line platinums. And I think that's about it. I don't think I've got much more left other than that. But there's still plenty of numbers in those numbers and in those
those animals.
Animals that I've got available, so yeah.
Cool. We got reduced pattern blondes that were from a reduced pattern blonde to a platinum, so they're either B grades or hets, whatever you want to call them. We got some het granite males, no girls. We got some posset albs. We got some marbles once I get them feeding. We got some T plus boys, you know. Bits and bobs. We got an adult trio of granites. We got some stimmies. We got some posset albs, some head alb adults. We've got a bitch and bobs and...
Slow down, that's a lot.
Everyone, whoever's interested, just send us a message. I know we've got people want photos, but we're getting swamped, but we'll have a fair few... We'll have all the hatchies there at the expo, and we'll probably do some pretty crazy prices. Unbeaten as the latest slogan is on all the ads. but nah, it'll be good. But anyway, I think that's about an hour. Oh, literally 59 minutes and 14 seconds. So
yeah, it is.
Hopefully we didn't slur along too long. You two are both pretty tired, but...
I'm tired as.
But we appreciate your time, Kurt. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully we can do this after the next expo. And we can touch on where you're at with breeding season and how you're doing and how the expo went and all that sort of stuff. So appreciate you coming on, mate.
Happy days. Enjoy it. every time. Everyone get out there and get some ants in ya.
Anything to say, Aiden? Nothing?
Good night.
Good night. Good night to you. See you guys. Thanks for listening.